Ms. Barron.
Good morning. May it please the Court, Susan S. Barron on behalf of the plaintiff, appellant Gregory W. Hyman. This matter, we have plaintiff appellant Gregory W. Hyman, who is a T5 systems engineer, who in fact worked for the defendant.
Before we get into the merits, I have a question about jurisdiction. On the day this suit was removed, of what state was your client a citizen?
Massachusetts.
And what in the record shows that? I bring this up because both sides' briefs say, quite peculiarly, that Hyman was a resident of Massachusetts and therefore a citizen of Massachusetts. And there's no therefore in it. And this is a case in which we know his home state is California. He moved to Illinois to take a job at Grumman without changing the state of his citizenship. He still had a home and a family in California. He apparently moved back to California after his time in Illinois was done. His home was foreclosed on, according to your complaint, 2 years later in California. We now find him in Massachusetts, but there's no indication that he's changed his domicile. We looked at the papers filed in both the state court and the removal papers in the district court, and neither of those papers indicates anything relevant to citizenship. So how do we know his citizenship, his domicile?
Your Honor, when he in fact accepted the employment, it is correct that in fact he started out, family resided in California, he started out in California.
Look, we need to know his domicile as of the day this lawsuit was removed to federal court. That was long after he had left Illinois and gone back to California, now presumably gone to Massachusetts. Normal indicators of domicile are such things as where's your home, where do you vote, where's your driver's license. This record doesn't apparently have any of that information in it. And the reason this concerns me is precisely that this man has long-term ties to California, and Grumman is a citizen of California.
Your Honor, his domicile is Massachusetts. He, in fact, after leaving Illinois, in fact, he went to Massachusetts. The family joined him in Massachusetts. He subsequently was employed in Massachusetts, and he still remains in Massachusetts at the time of filing.
What in the record shows this?
The notice of appeal indicated that, in fact,
the notice of appeal doesn't have anything about subject matter jurisdiction. The removal notice, which is the thing that matters, says that Hyman is a resident of Massachusetts and therefore a citizen. And that's simply a legal error. The Supreme Court has held 3 times that allegations of residence are jurisdictionally defective. The district court should either have compelled the parties to document citizenship or summarily remanded this to state court, because an allegation of residence just doesn't cut it. Now, I repeat the question. Is there any evidence in the record that shows his home, where he votes, or where he has a driver's license from?
Your Honor, I would have to say I don't believe so. Strictly
well,
on the
there's a statute which says that allegations of jurisdiction may be amended upon terms in the Court of Appeals. Perhaps you'll want to do some amending, or perhaps Northrop will want to do some amending. But as things stand, we've got a problem.
Your Honor, I will be doing some amending.
Okay, please continue.
Plaintiff appellant Gregory W. Hyman was a T-Systems 5 engineer, which requires that, in fact, you maintain a high security clearance with the government. Furthermore, also he had a 25-year career history as being a T5 systems engineer. The plaintiff appellant accepted employment from the defendant appellee, who in fact is Northrop Grumman Corp., which is a military defense contractor, and worked for the defendant appellee from April of 2006 through August of 2006.
Let me ask you a bottom-line question. Given that the relocation was part and parcel of the employment with Northrop Grumman, how is it that you know, we can be expected to conclude that the claims are not employment-related claims.
It is the contention of the plaintiff appellant that, in fact, the supplementary employee relocation plan was a collateral and distinctly separate and different agreement from that employment.
Actually, I mean, I understand that you repeatedly refer to that relocation agreement as collateral to the dispute resolution process agreement, but it's actually titled Supplementary Employee Relocation Agreement. And the term supplementary seems to suggest that it is an add-on to the employment agreement. How do you refute that assumption?
Your Honor, on, in fact, February 17th of 2006, defendant appellee tendered an offer of employment to the plaintiff appellant. And it's attached as Exhibit Number 1 on the reply brief, if you look at the February 17th offer of employment, you see specifically, page 2, paragraph 2, that in fact it refers to, if you accept this offer, please return the completed supplementary employee relocation agreement along with your employment offer response. Then furthermore, the document goes on to define what the conditions of the offer of employment.
And one of those conditions is the execution of the dispute resolution plan.
Correct.
Which requires arbitration.
Correct, but it does not indicate in that last paragraph that, in fact, the supplementary employee relocation agreement is part of that, is part of the actual contingency of the employment. If you go back to page 2, paragraph 2, clearly two offers requiring two responses creating two contracts. The law is very clear in that a collateral agreement, a separate and distinct agreement, which in fact is the contention of the actual plaintiff appellant, is that there was an entirely separate offer. It's collateral, it's separate, and it's distinct from the actual employment.
I don't see that at all, because they're not going to move him out there if he's not going to work for them, and he's not going to work for them unless he moves there.
But they're
intertwined.
Forgive me, but you could have a collateral agreement that is coordinate and parallel to the principal agreement.
It has no purpose unless he is employed there.
We're not disputing that. But it is distinctly a separate agreement that, without doubt, is parallel, coordinate.
So I don't understand why that's significant. The arbitration agreement says that it covers all employment-related disputes. You want to read it as if it said all disputes under this contract, and then you say this is a separate contract. But it's not what the arbitration agreement says. It says all employment-related disputes. How is this not employment-related?
The Prudential Court also indicates, if I may make a distinction, that, in fact, any disputes resulting from a collateral separate agreement, again, would the very fact that there's a principal agreement with a binding...
Look. How is a dispute about relocation expenses for employment not related to employment? That's the question.
Now, in the breach of contract, resulting from the employment relocation agreement, is different than an employee-related breach. There was clearly an offer on the home. There clearly... defendant appellee clearly breached that actual agreement, and as a result of breaching that agreement, the house went through foreclosure, the actual credit rating was in fact reduced.
Dealing with the question, which both Judge Tinder and I have been asking in different ways, everything you say makes it seem, is what is on the face of the documents, that this is a dispute related to employment. It is not a dispute about the employment contract itself. It's just related to employment.
Correct.
But that's the scope of the arbitration clause. It says it covers all employment-related disputes.
But the fact that you have a principal document that has an arbitration clause does not bind. Again, the very argument is based on that supplementary employee agreement is, in fact, a separate, distinct, and a collateral agreement.
Of course it is. You just want to read the arbitration clause as if it said all disputes under this contract. But unfortunately for you, that's not what it says.
That it's employment-related, that's employee-related, that's related
Thank
to...
Thank you. Employment. Thank you, counsel. Mr. Friedman.
Morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Ross Friedman. Your Honor, to address your jurisdictional issue, the amended complaint says that plaintiff currently lives in Massachusetts. Several times, actually, the amended complaint repeats itself, but in paragraph 83, he says that he lives in Massachusetts.
Would you please raise your voice? I can't hear you.
Sure. The amended complaint, Your Honor, says that the plaintiff is currently residing in Massachusetts.
And you heard me, I trust, discuss with Ms. Barron the fact that the Supreme Court has held that an allegation of residence is, as a matter of law, insufficient to establish federal jurisdiction. Well, what happened in this case is that you, your client, whether you personally or some other lawyer, filed a notice of removal that alleged residence rather than domicile. What matters under federal law is domicile, not residence. It's just a matter of law. And now, if the district court had been alert to this, this case would have been remanded within minutes because the notice of removal is defective as a matter of law. Now, it wasn't remanded. It has got here. But endlessly repeating the assertion the plaintiff is a resident of Massachusetts gets absolutely nowhere because the Supreme Court has held that that allegation doesn't cut it. All right?
Yes.
Now, there is a statute, as I told your colleague, it's 28 U.S.C. 1653, which says that defective allegations of jurisdiction in the pleadings may be amended even in the Court of Appeals. So if you want to keep this case in federal court, you need to amend it to allege domicile. And since you've already heard my concern that the defendant is a citizen of California, the plaintiff obviously has ties to California, we need allegations such as where is his home, where is he registered to vote, where does he have his driver's license from, and so on.
Yes, Your Honor. Moving to the merits, most of the facts are undisputed. There's an offer of employment that was contingent on signing the DRP. He accepted the offer of employment. He signed the DRP and was bound by it. Given these undisputed facts, we think the district court got it right, compelling arbitration. Congress and the Supreme Court have long favored arbitration as a means of dispute, and there's a liberal policy towards arbitration. And given a valid agreement, the only remaining inquiry is, are his claims in this case covered by the arbitration agreement? And the arbitration agreement here is very broad. It covers any claims related to his employment. And under any definition of that term, his claims for relocation benefits are related to his employment. Now, the collateral argument, employees sign agreements during the course of their employment all the time, handbook acknowledgments, code of conduct, things like that. Those are all collateral agreements. They all relate to his employment. You know, in theory, there is a possibility that he might have had a dispute with Northrop Grumman that might not be related to his employment if he had bought Northrop Grumman stock or something like that. But all of the issue here and the dispute here is based on something that clearly was related to his employment. And, Your Honor, unless you have additional questions, I don't have anything further.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Mr. Friedman.
Thank you.
The case is taken under advisement.